On the first Christmas night, a star lit up the heavens. On the first Christmas night, a star lit up the heavens. The angels gathered to rejoice in the coming of a Savior. Shepherds left their fields and journeyed to worship together the light of the world who was born to chase away darkness. This holy child who began life in a humble manger was honored with gifts worthy of a king. Our traditions may have changed over the years, but the one we celebrate remains the same. He is the Prince of Peace, the Great Healer, the Good Shepherd, Emmanuel. He is still worthy of our gifts today. With every donation given, you help fund distribution of scriptures to people who are seeking the hope only Jesus can provide. Join the Gideon's International today in spreading the good news of Jesus this Christmas.
Morning, on stage. We celebrated Veterans Day. Was it yesterday or Friday? Yesterday, the official day was. And so, if you're here this morning, I want to recognize you. If you've served in any capacity in the armed forces, any branch that is of the armed forces, no matter if you were just logistics or if you're a fighter, whatever you were, I want you to stand now because I want to pray for you and encourage you this morning. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Remain standing. Remain standing. All right. Let's start off our service this morning by praying for these good folk. Lord, thank you so much for our veterans. And I pray for those who couldn't make it this morning also, Lord. And just thank you for their service in many and varied ways, how they have stood in our place and stood for us and stood for freedom. I just lift them up to you, Lord, right now, each of these here this morning, and ask your blessings on them. I ask that you would encourage them in the coming weeks ahead, that you would watch over them and provide for them and walk with them. And I just thank you, Lord, for them and for how they have served our country. And I pray all this in your holy name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Would everybody else stand with them? Y'all don't get to sit. Everybody else has to stand. There you go.
I get my every care on the Lord. No matter what obsession, pain or deep depression, I'm standing on a solid rock.
I'm standing on the rock of ages. but it looks like some others do too. Holly.
All right, good morning. As hard as it is to believe, next Sunday is the last Sunday before Thanksgiving. So before the following Sunday, we need to be decorated for Christmas. And lots of hands make for light work, I think is how it goes, something like that. So I am looking for some help next Sunday afternoon. I'm going to start decorating the church for Christmas. The plan this year, we're going to have several trees that are going to need to be put up and fluffed, and that's a time-consuming process. So if you love to decorate for Christmas, I need your help next Sunday afternoon. I'll make it a little easy for you. I'll bring a pot of soup, so I'll feed you some lunch, and then we'll stay for 2 or 3 hours and get as far as we can on the decorating. Thanks.
Was that just me on the front row, or did it look like Holly was looking straight at you? I couldn't tell if that was everywhere. I'm not usually sitting there, so I don't know. But I labored just a little bit about making this announcement this morning, but I want to give you an update on where we're at on the pulpit committee. We looked at the resumes. We had two men that we felt good about moving forward with. We had a video interview with one, and that's as far as we're going to go with that man. He is withdrawn, and we had come to a decision already that it wasn't a good fit. We have another gentleman that we both, after we had a video conversation with, the committee was both enthusiastic and unanimous in saying that we feel good about this man moving forward with this man, having this man come to candidate. Now, I'm being kind of vague because we don't talk names. It's awkward for these other gentlemen who have a church, who have a church home. So until he candidates, until we move forward to the next step, we've got to be a little bit considerate of the situation that they're in. And so if there's two ways that we can look at this. If it doesn't work out with this man, the sky's falling, there's no hope. The wheels are coming off. We're in a desperate situation. Or, if it doesn't work with this man, God has got a plan.
Amen.
And He's got a man for us.
Amen.
We'll start the process over again, and God's in control. It'll be all right. We're hanging out with Lynn Lloyd. things are going all right. But the reason I want to tell you this is we have reached out to this man. He's talking it over with his family, and he's praying about whether or not he would consider coming to candidate, if God would lead him here or not. So I'm telling you this because we need you to pray for him and his family, that if he's the man, that God would lay it out to him. We feel comfortable about it. We feel God would lead him here, but we want you to pray for him. And we also want you to pray that even though we may want it, maybe it's not the best fit. Maybe it's not what God wants. And we need to be open to that. We need to be aware of that as well. So the sky's not going to fall. We'll pick up and we'll keep going on. But please pray that God would work in their heart and their family, and if it is the right fit, that it would open up and things would come together. Okay? Thank you.
Just a few more announcements. There'll be choir practice today at 5 p.m., and then devotional time and prayer time at 6 p.m. November 19th, we'll be having our business meeting. We'll be having beans and cornbread, so please bring cornbread, sides, and desserts. November 21st is Teenager Senior Adult Event at Woodland Heights Baptist at 11 p.m. And then November 23rd, free community Thanksgiving lunch at Ranch House Restaurant in Harrison. And then if you need more information on that, you can get with Byron Cawthron. Also, this coming Saturday, November 18th, the youth We will be going on a, we're going to go take them bowling at Harrison. We will be leaving at 1:45 and be back to church about 5 p.m. I think that's all the announcements we have. Will y'all pray with me? God, thank you for everyone here, God. Thank you for the blessings you give us. God, I pray for our next pastor. God, I pray you just be with them today, God. And God, I pray just thank you for what you're bringing us, God. I pray for Lynn and the message he's going to bring us, God. I pray you give us ears to hear, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you stand with me?
mercy never fails. And all my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head down, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been imagine you
How can it be that there's a God who weeps? There's a God who knows. Oh, praise the Lord who would reach for me. Hallelujah to the Son of suffering.
Blood and tears.
Oh, blood and tears. How can it be? There's a God who weeps. There's a God who knows. Oh, praise the Lord who would grieve for me. Hallelujah.
Forward, I'd like to welcome those of you who may be here for the first time this morning, visiting us. You may be seated, I'm sorry. If you'll fill out that blue card in front of you, in the pew in front of you, and put it in the plate as it passes by, we'd love to know more about you and possibly to come give you a visit if you check that box that you want to visit. Someone lead us in prayer. Thank you, Roger.
Let's pray. Grace, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this beautiful day. We can come into your house and, Lord, sing praises to you and, Lord, listen to your word. And Lord, we just ask you be with this time as we give back a portion of what you've given to us, Lord, that we can further your kingdom with this and you can multiply it in many ways. Lord, we just thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Good morning. Hey, man, it is so good to see y'all. For some reason, I am so nervous up here. Rebecca and I were just talking about it. She can tell I'm very nervous. I don't know why. Y'all don't make me that nervous. In fact, I feel pretty much at home. But I just don't know what's going on with me this morning. But I'm excited. So, well, you know, some men pray for me, but I'd appreciate that again. Yeah.
Lord, thank you for the honesty that Lynn's expressed. And I would assume, Lord, if I was speaking, that I would want a peace and a joy at the same time to run the race and to deliver your message. And so I left Brother Lynn and asked for a combination of those two things, gladness that he's prepared and a peace that knowing that we love him and we're excited to hear what you have to say through him to us. So we lift him up to you and just ask your blessings on him. Ask that you fill him with your spirit. And we just thank you for him being willing to serve us. We pray all this in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Matt. Yeah. Well, grab a Bible. We're going to be in Acts chapter 1 again. And I just get excited to Sunday mornings. I get excited. I get excited to be with y'all. And so I'm hoping and praying that what is said this morning, that God uses not just for information, but for transformation, that he gives us his word, he gives us our spirit, not just to inform us, but to transform us. And so I'm just excited about this message this morning. And it's kind of an odd one. I don't know how many times you've ever heard a sermon or a message on the ascension of Jesus, but that's where we are in the book of Acts. When we began kind of this last week or so talking, I'm kind of taking us into the book of Acts for the first week or two or three weeks, just because it kind of shows us what the church looks like. But more than that, it shows us when we're empowered, when a church is empowered by the Spirit of God, what God can do. And that's just exciting to see what God wants to do. And one of the things that y'all are in the process and in the transition of doing is selecting and finding out who that next person is that's going to come and lead, that next man is who God's going to lead, or that family that's going to come join y'all. And what God, the anticipation of what is God going to do? He's going to do some great things. And in anticipation of that, we're looking at this, the ascension of Jesus and what that means. And so if you could picture in your mind with me this morning what's happening in this passage before we read this scripture together. At the end of Luke, and you know Luke and Acts are joined together, and at the end of Luke, the last few verses of Luke, it talks about that Jesus took his disciples and he led them out to the Mount of Olives. And there he's talking to them. And there is where, when last week, when we were talking about, the first few verses of Acts and what he was saying there in Acts 1:8 even, they're standing on the Mount of Olives, okay? And possibly maybe on the east side of the Mount of Olives. Now, if you could picture this, Israel, where they're at, really isn't mountainous, but it's like the Ozarks. They're mounts. So if you've ever been to Fayetteville, you've probably been to Mount Sequoia, okay? Actually, Fayetteville is scattered over about five what we would call mounts, okay? There's Mount Kessler, there's Mount Sequoia, and you can go up on top of Mount Sequoia, and there's a big cross there because there used to be a church camp on top of Mount Sequoia, and there's a view from Mount Sequoia over the university, down the valley toward Farmington and Prairie Grove, and it is an incredible view. So here on the Mount of Olives, if you think about this, the Mount of Olives is about 200 feet higher than the Temple Mount, okay? So if you ever go to Israel, one of the places you're going to go is to the top of the Mount Olives. And there's a nice hotel on top of Mount Olives. But you would go there because you can view the Temple. And you can view Old Jerusalem. Because it's you're up above it and you kind of look down on it, okay? And there's several, in the Mount of Olives, several things happened over the Mount of Olives. I don't know if you remember, but there was a time when David was fleeing from Absalom, and he had to cross over at the Mount of Olives. Okay? When Jesus, in his last few hours, he took his disciples to the Mount of Olives to be with them. It was from the Mount of Olives that Jesus even descended to enter into Jerusalem when he was
for the triumphal entry when he came in on a colt. So the Mount of Olives plays a big picture. The Mount of Olives, so he's got his disciples, and they're standing over the Mount of Olives, on the Mount of Olives. And they can look back at Jerusalem, and he's talking to them. And he's giving him his last words, and then he's going to ascend from the Mount of Olives. Okay? So, this is where we're beginning. I just want to get that picture in your mind. And if you would stand, we're going to read these few verses to kind of get this picture and to get us going in the direction that we're going. And I'm reading from the ESV, verses, chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. And so, when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Let me pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. And God, I'm asking that this morning that your word and your spirit overwhelm us. God, that we would not leave this place without a greater understanding of who you are. So, Father, even this morning, may we dwell here, may we spend time here with you. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. You know, this week I've been thinking about the word remarkable, okay? For some reason, God, I think, just kind of sometimes reminds us of things over and over. But the word remarkable keeps coming up when I think about this passage of Scripture. Because the word remarkable, if we could define it in a way, it means to see something or to observe something that is so extraordinary that you have to say something about it, that you have to remark about it. And so the disciples are here, and they are fixing to see something. They are more than see something. They are fixing. You like that word, fixing? Yeah. They are about to. They are fixing to experience something remarkable. Now, I want you to think about something. What are some of the most remarkable things you've ever seen? Think, what are, in your lifetime, what are some of the most remarkable things you've ever experienced? You know, I can remember the first time I stood on the edge of the Grand Canyon. Oh, man, this was phenomenal. It was remarkable. You can't help but see something like that and not want to say something to somebody about it. Did you see that? There's been some remarkable things. One of the remarkable things I remember is the first time I laid eyes on Rebecca. When people ask us about our story, that is one of the things that it was remarkable. I was stunned. I had to say something to somebody about it, you know. So these disciples were in for a remarkable experience. Now, think about this. They had seen and experienced some things that were pretty remarkable. You know the ESPN top 10? You know? I used to run to the TV because I wanted to see those top 10 experiences, you know? That great catch, that great hit. But just think about this. If there was a top 10, ESPN top 10 for Jesus, oh my, what remarkable experiences these disciples would have seen. The feeding of the 5,000, the raising of Lazarus from the dead, remarkable. His resurrection, remarkable. And here they are again. They are about to experience something remarkable. Remarkable. takes them out of anything they've seen or experienced before. The first thing and I always try to give us handles on passages of Scripture so that when you leave here, if somebody asks you, oh, how was Sunday? You can say, well, you know what? We learned this about this passage of Scripture. And these are the things that, these are the kind of handles I try to put out there for us to hang on to so when we have the opportunity to talk to people about church, we can say, hey, you know what I learned on Sunday? You ought to come visit. You might learn something too. So here's what I'm going to talk about this morning. And I know a good teacher will always tell you what they want you to learn, and then they'll try and teach you. So here's three things that I want you to walk away with this morning. First of all, that the ascension of Jesus was a mystery. It was a mystery. And we're going to talk about that. And then I want you to see this, that the ascension of Jesus was majestic. Oh, it's grand. And then I want us to see that the ascension of Jesus marked the end of his ministry, but the beginning of our ministry. Okay? So, look at this passage of Scripture. Let's look at it right quick. And so when it talks about, it says, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has things fixed. I want you to see this. This was a mystery. It was a mystery to the prophets, and it was a mystery to the people and his disciples. Because in the Old Testament, there are over 330 prophecies, okay, about the return, about Jesus, about his coming, even about his second coming. But you know, the prophecies about his ascension, of all things, there's hardly any, and if they are, they're very, very veiled. Okay? Let me just read a couple of passages that from this side of history, looking back at that side of history, we understand the ascension, okay? But it was a mystery to the prophets. Listen to this. In Psalms 24:7, it says, you'll recognize these passages. It says, lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, ye ancient doors, that the King of glory might come in. A veiled reference that the King of glory is coming back to his place. He's coming back to his throne. And then in Psalms 110, and Jesus even quoted this psalm. This is interesting. Psalm 110 says this, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Jesus quoted this in Matthew when he was trying to explain to him that he was and is the Messiah. And that one day he will return to his position as King of kings and Lord of lords. So the prophets didn't even understand it. But, you know, even the disciples, the people, didn't understand it. If you could go through the book of John, there are about four or five places in the book of John that he references his ascension. And I know they didn't understand it. One of these references is found in John chapter 6, verse 60. And they're having this discussion about him being the bread of life. And he's trying to explain to them that he is the bread of life. And it says that his disciples, they said, this is a hard teaching. We don't understand it. And you know what Jesus says? He said, well, if you think this is hard to understand, wait, he says, wait till this. What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? Now that really blew their minds. Because they can't imagine what that means. They can't see what that means. In John 20, verse 27, when he's talking to Mary after his resurrection, and he says to Mary, don't cling to me now, but go tell the disciples that I am ascending to the Father, your Father, and our Father. The ascension of Jesus was a mystery. It was a mystery. But there's something greater than that. I want you to see that the ascension of Jesus was majestic. It was majestic. The ascension of Jesus was It was a supernatural act, and it was a holy act. A supernatural event and a holy event. Look at this. I think this is pretty neat. And it says, when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and the cloud took him out of their sight. A supernatural event. You know what the definition of a miracle is? The definition of a miracle happens when God chooses to intersect with our human lives in a whole supernatural way, that he will suspend every natural law there is to do something that has never been done before. Okay, that's a miracle. That is something that is supernatural. And look at this. It says that that they were looking up steadfastly. They were seeing this happen before their eyes, and they were looking up steadfastly. The phrase here in the Greek literally means that their eyes were on stems. Okay, you've seen those if y'all watch any of the cartoons or anything, you've seen those cartoons with Bugs Bunny when their eyes pop out, you know, something like that. It literally means their eyes were popping out. They were steadfastly gazing. It was something so supernatural that they hadn't ever seen before, so remarkable that they were just wide eyes in amazement. Wide eyes in amazement. It was a supernatural event. This supernatural event defied gravity, okay? Isaac Newton's law, what goes up must come down, our natural law of gravity that we understood was suspended. He just started rising, you know? He started ascending. It was a miracle. Supernatural law was suspended. Because our natural laws mean nothing to this Creator. He created gravity. But not only was it supernatural, this was a holy event. A holy event. Because it says that he ascended into, or was received into a cloud. Received into a cloud. Now, this isn't the idea of us letting go a helium balloon and watching it go off until it disappears in the clouds, okay? This, kind of picture this. As Jesus is ascending, this cloud is coming and receiving him. You know, all through the Old Testament, God, one of the ways that God is depictioned or talked about is a cloud. Think back about it. You know, when they were wandering through the wilderness, it was a fire by night and a cloud by day. It was the presence of God with the people. The presence of God with the people. One of the most, even as Moses, when they made it to Mount Sinai, if you go back and read that passage of Scripture, it says that for 6 days that a cloud ascended on the top of Mount Sinai, and there was lightning, and there was thunder, and there was wind, and on the seventh day that Moses was beckoned up into the cloud to receive the Ten Commandments. Man, the presence of God. This wasn't just a supernatural event that happened. This is a holy event that's happening. You know, in Chronicles, in 2 Chronicles, when they dedicated the temple, it says this. It says that that all the people were gathered together. They were singing. They were playing flutes and instruments. They were reading Scripture. That the priests were going about their business. And then a cloud comes in. The presence of God comes in. And it's so thick that everything stopped. They couldn't continue what they were doing because it was such a holy event. Isaiah says that when he saw God high and lifted up, that the train of his robe filled the temple.
What would happen if we're up here and Matt's leading us in worship and all of a sudden a cloud envelops in the presence, we feel and see the presence of God? When this cloud received Jesus, it was a holy, holy experience. And one of these days in Matthew it says he's coming back on a cloud. This ascension just wasn't any normal day. It was a remarkable day. It was remarkable. It was a mystery, and it was majestic, but here's where it hits home. It tells us that it was the completion of his ministry and the beginning of our ministry. Look at these verses. This is almost kind of humorous to me. It says, two men appeared in white robes, angels, and, you know, I'm thinking by this time they ought to be used to seeing angels, but I'm sure they were shocked. You know, those two guys, God sent his two top guns to deliver a message to these people. They were always delivering messages. And so, here they are, two men in white robes, and they say, I want you to notice this. They ask a question, and then they give the answer, okay? Here's what they say. It says, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come again in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Jesus' ascension was to show that his ministry was completed. Now, we know that on the cross, he said it's finished, okay? So what did he mean on the cross when he's finished, and what's the difference in this when he's ascending into heaven? When he died on the cross, he said it's finished. It was finished. What was finished was our salvation. His death, his sacrifice for us, for our redemption, was completed. But he comes back and he's on the earth for another 40 days. And he's at the end of this 40 days and he's been with his disciples and he's been with his followers and he has been with them and teaching them and instructing them and getting them ready for what was about to happen. So these two angels come and they ask this question, and can you imagine what's going through their minds? You know, what's just happening? They're wondering, they're pondering, and they say, hey guys, hey, why are you standing here gazing? Wives, do your men ever gaze? Do you ever catch them looking over a pasture and just kind of gazing, or looking at a project and just kind of gazing? My wife thinks I'm having a stroke when those things happen. Sometimes I gaze and I wonder and I think and I'm going, okay, how am I going to fix this? So I'm just kind of gazing. Well, these guys are gazing and they're wondering what's going on. They're gazing. And the angel said, hey guys, why are you standing here gazing? And then they give this answer. And this is where this locks into us today. That Jesus ascended to pass on the ministry to us. Okay? If he had to leave so that we could take on his ministry that he had started. The angel's answer, you know, is really interesting. It says, as the disciples watch the Lord depart into heaven, they're comforted by the angel messengers because of this message. And it's the same message that we need to get today. It says, this same Jesus, and I think that's probably referenced in the King James, this same Jesus who you saw was taken up from you into heaven will come again in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This same Jesus, this same Jesus that you saw feed 5,000 people, this same Jesus that healed the lame, this same Jesus
that raised Lazarus from the dead. This same Jesus that bled and died on the cross for you. This same Jesus. One of these days, He is coming back. This same Jesus who is ascending to the Father and sitting at His right hand, who is praying over us constantly, watching over us, being our intercessor between us and the Father. This same Jesus is coming back the same way. That is hopeful, y'all. This same Jesus that loves you and me, He's coming back one of these days. And I think these angels are reminding the disciples, you know, ladies, you sometimes Rebecca gives me a checklist, and that checklist may have one thing on it, you know. Here's your checklist, one thing. You're going to the grocery store, you're getting one thing. The disciples' checklist was one thing. Do you remember what that was? It was go to Jerusalem and wait. And He's reminding them, hey, it's time to do your checklist. It's time to go back to Jerusalem and wait for the powering of the Holy Spirit. This same Jesus is one of these days, He's going to return just as He left. He's going to return physically. He's going to return visibly. And He is going to return wonderfully. Wonderfully. Zechariah 14 says this, on that day, His feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives that lies between Jerusalem on the east and the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west by a very wide valley, so that one half of the Mount of Olives shall move northward and the other will move southward. This is going to be an incredible event when He returns, because He's coming back. He ascended from the Mount of Olives. It says He's coming back to the Mount of Olives. And when that happens, it's going to be a worldwide event. You know, it's interesting, back up here, the disciples had asked a question. They had asked this question, when will you restore the kingdom of Israel? When will you restore the kingdom of Israel? The thing that Jesus knew, that His disciples didn't know to answer that question, was this. He says, you don't need to know the when, but you do need to know the what. And the what is this. The what, His answer to this by His ascension is this. Number one, they needed power. They don't need any more information. Folks, sometimes we don't need any more information. We have been in church long enough, we've got enough information to carry out what God's asking us to do in His ministry, to fulfill this ministry, to help the kingdom, prepare the kingdom, and bring the kingdom here. It's not that we need more information about that. What we need is power. We need a touch from God. We need the presence of the cloud and the Shekinah glory of God to touch us in an incredible, incredible way. That is what the ascension of Jesus is about. It's about not the fact that we need more information. It's about the fact that we need to recognize that God, that when Jesus left, He passed this ministry on to you and me. And He's saying, you don't need more information, but you do need power. And that power only can come from the filling of the Holy Spirit. Earlier I asked you to think about something remarkable. You know, what are some things that you've seen that are remarkable? And driving over here this morning, you know, we passed, I don't know how many dozens of churches, you know, driving from Fayetteville over here. And, you know, there's all sorts of different churches. But what makes a church remarkable? Okay? What makes a church stand out among other churches? Is it the building? It's not. I mean, we see white churches, we see brick churches, we see rock churches, we see all sorts of different kinds of churches. So it's not what the church looks like from the outside that makes it remarkable. What makes a church remarkable is the experience that people have when they enter this church. What will make this church, what makes Osage Baptist Church remarkable? It's the experience that they have when they come to this church. Who greets them? Who says hi to them? Who takes care of their children? Who takes care of the youth? Who invites them to something different? Listen, if one of the things that with college students, you get two clicks with a college student. Two clicks on a website. If you want younger people in your church, you got to realize, or visitors that come to your church, you get two clicks. They're going to check you out maybe once, maybe twice, and then they're going to vote with their feet. That means they will walk away. So what makes our church, Osage Church, different, more remarkable? It's y'all. You will make this church remarkable. When God is working in you, you are remarkable. If I can say this, you're like a purple cow. Okay? You drive down the road, we drive down the road, I see black cows, I see white cows, I see spotted cows. But if you ever see a purple cow, oh my gosh, you're going to throw on the brakes. You're going to get out of your car. You're going to start taking pictures. I'm going to call Rebecca. You won't believe what I saw. I just saw a purple cow. Listen, what makes you, what makes this church a purple cow? So remarkable that people are going to let other people know about it. It's as we experience the power of God, can you stand out like a purple cow? You're going to stand out like a purple cow at work. You're going to stand out like a purple cow in Walmart. You're going to be a purple cow. And when people come to visit, they're going to say, that church is a purple cow. Yeah. This morning, the ascension of Jesus was so remarkable, it was a purple cow. We, to carry out the